This episode of the You're on the Clock podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/on the clock. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/on the clock.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah!
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
All right, guys, you're listening to the You Are on the Clock podcast. On today's episode, we are going to talk fantasy football. We're going to make our Week 13 picks. I am going on the clock about my St. Louis Rams, and we are going to discuss a new idea for the future of the NFL and the safety of players. My name is Matt Geiger, joined as always by Iron Mike. How are we doing today, Mike?
We're doing great, thank you. Well, I'm doing great, thank you.
It is Tuesday morning, December 8th at 3 a.m. We're coming to you late or early, depending on how you look at it. Let's jump right into some news and notes, Mike.
Sounds great.
All right, so we're going to start with news from the Monday night game. Jason Witten caught his 1,000th pass of his career. Did so without Tony Romo, whom he caught a majority of his passes from for his career. Is Witten one of the best tight ends ever?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you could look at it as one of two ways. He's one of the greatest for, you know, majority of his career. Or you can look at it as like the Derek Jeter.
Consistency and longevity?
Yeah. You know, you stick around for 27 years, you're likely to break some records.
Right. Well, so like in our era, you have to think of guys, I would say the top three, you know, since what, like 2000, I would say would be like Witten, Dallas Clark, Antonio Gates.
What about Tony Gonzalez?
Gonzalez. Okay, so Gonzalez would be one. I would say
I wouldn't really throw Clark in there.
Gates two, Witten three. But Clark did have a pretty good career.
I wouldn't even consider Antonio Gates in a class with Gonzalez and Witten. I think they're in a class of their own.
Well, I mean, there's still more to be said because I think Gates is a little bit younger. But he's coming towards the tail end of his career, too. And this could be Witten's last year. But either way, congratulations, Jason Witten, on your 1,000th career catch. News out of Jacksonville, where wide receiver Allen Hurns has been cleared to play after he passed concussion protocol. That's going to be big for them. They have a key matchup this week
against Indianapolis.
Yes. And that's for positioning in the division race. So, you know, competing. Houston lost today, Sunday, after what, a 4-game win streak. So it's going to be real tight in that race, even though one of those teams is going to make the playoffs. None of them should make the playoffs.
Correct.
More news out of the AFC South. Matt Hasselbeck is expected to start this week. He did have a rib injury, and there was another injury he had during the Sunday night game, but he is expected to play because Andrew Luck is still considered week to week, and they're saying it's a stretch that he might even be able be ready for week 15. So Hasselbeck's going to get the nod there. Out in Seattle, the Seahawks have cut cornerback Kerry Williams, who they just signed to a 3-year, $18 million deal in the offseason. He started 10 games. He was benched. He's not good. So, I mean, I guess they're just cutting ties with
mistakes they made.
Yeah,
and early.
I was going to say garbage, but that sounds better. Tight end Rob Gronkowski is unlikely to play in Week 14. He's still recovering from a knee injury. They might need him because the offense looked like they were struggling a little bit.
Not only do the Patriots need him, but I need him. I have him in, I think, 3 or 4 leagues.
We have some news from Atlanta, where wide receiver Leonard Hankerson has been placed on the season-ending IR with a hamstring injury. That's big because he was seeing a ton of targets. I think he was second on the team in targets, only behind Julio, obviously. Expect Roddy White to get a bigger role back, like something more of along the lines of what you were used to seeing in recent years.
I wouldn't really say that much. I'd still say it would be 3-1 targets on Julio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, if Julio was getting 15 targets, there was 5 targets to go between Roddy White and Leonard Hankerson, and Hankerson was getting 3-2 on that, or 4-1.
Yeah.
So he's going to be missed in that offense. I would say
kind of a disappointing year for Hankerson too.
Even the tight end though, Jacob Tammy should see an increase in targets.
Yeah, he's been seeing steady targets all year. It's just he's been very inconsistent.
Yeah. Tight end Nick Boyle, who was a starter in the two tight end set for the Ravens, has been suspended 4 games for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. So 4 games for Nick Boyle. Out in Cleveland, we have 2 bits of news. Guard Joel Bitonio is out for the season with a knee injury, and quarterback Josh McCown has been placed on the IR with a broken clavicle. That's big because now Cleveland is turning back to Johnny Manziel after they benched him this week in favor of Austin Davis, it was, right?
Yep, Austin Davis.
Who didn't have a terrible game, but, you know, they still lost. And why not turn back to Manziel for the last couple of games? And, you know, this is something we talked about a few weeks ago when we thought he was going to start. And then, you know, the whole thing with that, I think it was either a picture or a video came out of him drinking again.
And I think he said, I don't have a drinking problem. The NFL has, or the Cleveland Browns have a problem with me drinking.
I see, now I would agree with that because...
Sounds like something I've said in the past.
Yeah, I could see you saying that at like 4 in the morning when you stumble into the house drunk. No, but I would agree with that just because with a player that's in the spotlight as much as him, he might do just as much drinking as anybody else on that team. But because he's the most popular or most well-known player on that team, he's going to draw more attention. So... You know,
I mean, is the guy 21 years old?
Yeah, he's like 22.
So what the fuck's the big deal?
No, I totally agree with you. And it hasn't been an issue where it's gotten him in like a huge amount, like, you know, DUI or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just he's in the spotlight, you know. You see other guys like that and they're not getting the same amount of, you know, pressure from the organization. I think they need to get
off his back.
I think they should let him be a 22-year-old kid, but be as protective, but not with the restrictions that they're giving him. Because aside from Josh Gordon, they're not really doing that to anybody else.
Yeah.
Our next piece of news comes out of St. Louis, where the Rams have fired their offensive coordinator, Frank Cignetti, and they have promoted Scott Boris to the interim offensive coordinator spot. He was their tight end coach and co-offensive coordinator, which is going to lead to a segment called You're on the Clock. And I'm going to put myself on the clock here, Mike. So if you're ready to hear me rant, I'm going to go for a couple minutes.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Ready?
Kind of a disappointing season.
Here's the problem, okay? The Rams have arguably the worst offense in the league, and they've had the worst offense in the league for 12 weeks. Why the fuck did it take so long for the Rams to fire their offensive coordinator, and why isn't Jeff Fisher on his way out the door with them? Okay, just to pull up some numbers for you, they have 189 total points, okay? That's second worst in the league behind only San Fran, and... The team with the most points, the Cardinals, have 382. That's almost double what the Rams have done. All right? They have a 24% third down conversion ratio, worse than the league. And they also have 18 lost fumbles, a -1 turnover differential, and... They average 14 first downs per game, which is also less in the league. why the fuck is the whole coaching staff not gone there? Aside from the defensive coordinator, who's actually done a pretty decent job considering the secondary that he's working with. Why is there still a coaching staff in place that was there in the beginning of the year? And with so many young, talented players, I know the offensive line sucks, but Nick Foles wasn't a terrible quarterback before he came here. He was okay. You have one of the best young running backs in the league, a top five running back right now in Todd Gurley, and you have big guys on the outside like Brian Quick and Kenny Britt, who might not be elite receivers, but they're guys that you can go to and just throw the ball up to and hope that they make a play. But when it comes down to it, they're running gimmick plays where they put Tavon Austin in motion and give him a end around that'll get 2 yards of play, and they're doing that on first and second downs instead of running the ball with Todd Gurley. And then on third down, they try to run some stupid bootleg screen that's always sniffed out. The offense sucked, and it's going to suck, and it's going to keep sucking until Jeff Fisher's gone. Get rid of the whole coaching staff and start from scratch. You have enough young players that will buy into a system that'd be brand new and build off of that. The Rams haven't had a season above 500 in like 15 years. In that time, the Seahawks have made it to 3 Super Bowls. The Cardinals have made it to 1 or 2. And the San Francisco 49ers, the shitbag team of the year, have made it to a Super Bowl. Okay? And at one point, all of these teams were worse than St. Louis. And look how they've turned it around. It just, it doesn't add up. They need to do something. They need a shakeup. And Mr. Mediocre himself, Jeff Fisher, is not going to help this team get above the hump. Jeff Fisher has a career 500 record as a coach. Why he was so highly touted is beyond me. I thought he might be able to do something, but he's not. And it's taken too long. He's brought in good talent, but he's not. The coaching staff isn't doing justice to the players that they have on this roster. You have anything to add to that?
Well, one thing I want to say is that I think the St. Louis Rams were kind of almost tricked into believing or getting Nick Foles for the exchange of Sam Bradford, because I think Nick Foles was just a system quarterback.
My argument to that is when a team calls and they're offering you a quarterback and a draft pick, with the disappointment that Bradford has been, mainly just due to injury, not due to talent, but for what they did invest in Bradford, you had to move on. You had to make a change. It wasn't working, and it wasn't going to continue to work.
What draft pick did they get back?
Fourth rounder.
A fourth rounder in last year's or next year's?
It was 2 fourths, so I think it was one this year and one next year.
Do you know who they got with this year's pick?
I can find out.
And then another thing I just wanted to note was from that rant was, you know, Todd Gurley kind of ran into a rookie wall over the last couple of weeks. This week he had a tough matchup. I know he beat up on the Cardinals earlier in the year, but, you know, that was with the Cardinals not really having anything on the guy. And now that they saw him, and the second time around, they were able to contain him. So, you know, and last week he didn't really have a good game either. So it's interesting to see what he does going forward.
The argument I'll make there, and it's not a good argument, but the offensive line hasn't been playing that well, and they're young, and they're losing guys every week. You know, there's more and more guys getting placed on the IR. There's more guys that are getting hurt.
Yeah, injuries always have something to do with it, but, you know.
You can't, but I feel like it's injuries and play calling that are hurting Gurley more than anything else, because he's still finding a way to pop off a yard or two on plays where he has no.
Yeah, and that's pure talent and instinct with those plays, you know. But as far as the, you know, offensive line is concerned, you said, you know, it's young guys. Well, they were doing the job, you know, 3-4 weeks ago when he was getting 100 yards every game. I mean, they're not winning, so that's the key point there. But, you know, I think he just ran into a rookie wall, and Nick Foles was a system quarterback in Philadelphia. Yeah, Bradford was, you know, unfortunate with all of his injuries, but You're right. You got to cut ties.
And there was no way that I saw Bradford playing out any more games in St. Louis than he already did with that contract, making that much money. Because, like I said, they weren't getting the return on the investment they made. Bradford was the last first-round draft pick to be selected before the rookie salary cap restrictions were made. So he was making like $80 million on his rookie contract.
Yeah, you had no choice but to play him, kind of. Can we talk about a team that's more relevant to the NFL?
The Rams in the trade got a draft pick this coming draft, and that was a fourth-round pick, and then a second-round pick in next year's draft. But that's conditional, depending on, I think it was like if Foles made a Pro Bowl or started at all 16 games. It was like a you know, almost like an if trade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, well, I'm off the clock with that. It's just real frustrating as a fan of the Rams to...
Yeah, all 12 of you guys.
Yeah, and I know four of them personally. But, yeah, it's just frustrating to have to go through shit like that, you know? And since I've been watching games that I could remember, they haven't been successful. I think we've made the playoffs one or two years since I've been actually following football as closely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump back to some news and notes real quick. Denver tight end Vernon Davis suffered a concussion in week 13. He's going to have to go through the concussion protocol. Jacksonville linebacker Paul Posluszny is a broken hand. His status is uncertain for week 14. And the Miami Dolphins waived C.J. Mosley through injury due to a calf injury. He's done for the year. Two injuries coming to the Minnesota defense, and if these guys are out, it could be a big blow. Harrison Smith has a hamstring injury, and Anthony Barr has a groin injury. Both of their statuses are uncertain. But like we said earlier, we are recording the podcast early Tuesday morning, so by the time this comes out, you'll probably have a better idea whether or not both of those guys are going to play.
And they play Thursday night, so that's huge.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. They could both miss this game.
And then it will not be a close game at all.
I don't think so. Especially since what Seattle did to them, you know, with the score being, what was it, 38-14?
Yeah, but watch out, man. Seattle, they're looking good lately.
Yeah, they're going to make a huge push towards the end of the year.
On both sides of the ball.
Yep. Huge blow to the Giants offensive line. Eric Flowers has a high ankle sprain. Depending on, you know, how well the treatment goes, which if you ask me, the Giants haven't been handling any of their injuries the right way since the offseason. He could be out a couple of weeks. The high ankle sprains are usually the ones that keep players out the longest. Out of San Fran, we have some news. Vance McDonald, the tight end, and linebacker Aaron Lynch both suffer concussions. They'll have to go through the protocol. More news for my shitty Rams. Stedman Bailey has finally been placed on the injured reserve or the PUP list. Physically unable to perform after he got shot in the head twice. The reason this wasn't done earlier is because he was suspended for four games, so they couldn't make a roster move until he came off a suspension. And then more news from St. Louis. Tight end Lance Kendricks and cornerback Janoris Jenkins both suffer concussions. Once again, they'll have to go through the protocol. And the final bit of news that we have is linebacker from Tampa Bay, Quan Alexander, is suspended four games for violation of the PED policy. His suspension for four games will likely put him out for the rest of the season unless they make a late run for the wild card spot. And they are in contention right now, so that could be something. Any other stuff to add with any of these injuries or notes, Mike?
No, that covers it all.
Man of a million words today.
Yeah. Well, I've been awake for close to 24 hours now, so.
And you're going to work right after this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For a little bit.
All right. So, now that we're done with that, me and Mike just got into an interesting debate.
Mike and I.
Iron Mike and I got into an interesting debate off mic. We were trying to figure out something that we could talk about, and then I came across a bit of news coming out of the New York Times today. If you guys are familiar with the movie that's coming out on Christmas called Concussion.
Starring Will Smith, right?
Yes. The movie's called Concussion, but the actual doctor who's portrayed by Will Smith in this movie was the one that was at the forefront in, you know, pretty much exposing the NFL on the idea that they knew this, how bad the severity of concussions were and the long-term damage it could do to a player after football's over. He has a daily column in the New York Times, and in the column today, he suggested that athletes, not parents or coaches, should be allowed to decide whether the risks are worth children playing the sport. And in order to accomplish that, athletes should have to wait until they reach a legal age of consent, which is 18, before being allowed to play any high-impact sports. So this brought up a debate that me and Mike are going to talk about on whether or not this is good for the game of football. And right off the bat, my case in point to this was, if you're not allowing football players to learn proper technique at a young age and not allowing them to play impact sports, specifically football in our case, until high school or until after high school when they go to college, essentially they have no technique, no form, no, you know, I want to say, I can't think of the word I want to say. They have no, they're not getting enough reps learning how to do it, which in my opinion would lead to, you know, once you get into college and then eventually into the pros, because you don't have those reps at full, you know, at full speed, taking hits, and knowing the proper technique, I feel like that leads to more danger because, you know, from the time you're a kid, you're learning form tackling and how to hit and how to avoid putting your head in and, you know, how to form tackle.
See, now, in the day that we are in currently, that is one of the most important things with the youth football.
They put a big emphasis on form tackling.
Every coach needs to be heads up certified in order to be a coach, which means they have to go to classes and
they're essentially taught
how to teach. They're taught how to teach these kids to tackle. They are instructed to, you know, give out videos on, and the Seattle Seahawks made a video on how to, you know, properly make tackles. And, you know, to some extent, I agree with Matt and, you know, how, you know, it's not good that they won't know how to do these things until they're in college. But I'm going to totally disagree and say that I think it's better if they don't know how to do these things until they get into college, because you look at it as with anything else in life where, yes, you've been doing it for X amount of years as a young adult, as a teenager, but you think you know the right way to do it. And, you know, some people get tired of listening to an authority and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And then they tend to steer away from it, especially with social media and seeing big hits on TV every day and watching YouTube videos on, you know, big hits and all these hard tackles, and these young players go out and try and emulate it on game day, and they either hurt themselves or they hurt somebody else. If you don't know the proper way to tackle until you get to a college level, yes, you're still new to it, but at that time in your life, you're turning into a full adult, like a grown man. So it's almost better to learn then, when your body is turning into what it's going to be, rather than going from age. Johnny's what, 7 years old now? He just played his first year of tackle football, and he's learning how to tackle now. You think the way he's learning now, the correct way now, is going to stick with him until he's 18 for the next 11 years?
I think that if all coaches are teaching the proper technique and that's something that has to be emphasized, then yeah, because it's repetition.
Yes.
It's muscle memory.
Yes.
You know, things that I necessarily didn't learn because I didn't start playing until I got to high school. But we did, there was a big emphasis put on form tackling when I was a freshman, a sophomore.
Yes, but when we were in high school, it was...
And a lot, as much isn't known, wasn't known then as it is now, especially.
It was, it just wasn't as publicized.
Right, but I will say, you know, going to the school that I went to, and obviously you went to too, specifically as a defensive back.
Why, obviously?
Touche. But specifically as a defensive back, one of the things that we were always taught was if you're going to tackle, keep your head up. You don't want to go running at a guy full speed with your head down, because not only does it decrease your chances of actually tackling the guy, but it increases your chances of getting hurt.
Well, yeah, you got to tackle with your head up because you got to see where you're going as well.
Right.
But one of the
it's also very unsafe to tackle with your head down because yes. You could crack your neck.
Yes, but one of the more important things I always took about keeping your head up was to be able to see, and this is something that I felt they emphasized more on, was getting your head on the ball for a chance to increase a fumble.
Right, but that, you know, but all of that stuff
not
still,
because it was the safe way to right. do it.
I mean, subliminally, they might not have known they were teaching us to do it the safe way, but, you know, by telling us if you keep your head up, you have a better chance of popping the ball out, they're also telling us keep your head up because it's going to avoid an injury. You know, now Dr. Bennett Amalu, who is the guy that we were talking about, was quoted in the column saying, "The human brain becomes fully developed at about 18 to 25 years old. We should at least wait for our children to grow up, be provided with the information and education on the risk of play, and let them make their own decisions. No adult, not a parent or a coach, should be allowed to make this potentially life-altering decision for a child." Now, I don't disagree with that. You know, there's always been parents that force their kids to play. You know, my parents weren't one of those people. And granted, I wasn't allowed to play until I was in high school because of a condition. But it was my choice to play. My parents gave me that option. And I knew what I was signing up for. I never played tackle football. But I knew what I was getting myself into, not as far as brain injuries, but the potential of hurting yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to turn it more towards...
Some of these kids are scrambling their brains before they even make it out of
high school. Oh, no, I totally... I can't tell you the amount of kids that I know that have had multiple concussions before we even got out of high school. Real quick, I want to, maybe 5 more minutes on this. The one thing I want to talk about is how does this affect the NFL product? Because if this is something that goes into effect now, you're not going to see a turnaround for another 10 years.
No, you're right about that. But with the product that the NFL is throwing out this year, it can't get any fucking
worse. But
what
I'm saying is the level of skill and talent is going to decrease.
I'm going to disagree because you're still going to have kids playing football all throughout high school. Yeah, it may be flag football. But they're still going to be playing football.
So then essentially what you're telling me is the NFL is going to turn even more into an offensive league.
That's what everybody wants to see.
So
nobody wants
there's going
to
be,
see,
there's
nobody
be
wants
95
to go out
point
see,
games.
Nobody wants to go out and see a game like the Monday night game where there wasn't a touchdown until the second half. Nobody wants to see that shit. Everybody wants to see home runs. Everybody wants to see goals scored in hockey. Everybody wants
passes.
To see 80-yard touchdown passes. Nobody wants
not,
to see a
6-3
ball game.
I'm not
game.
Agreeing or disagreeing, but I will argue that the way the NFL is going, they might as well be playing flag football. There's so many rules that not only are in place, obviously, for player safety, which is something that everybody wants. You know, you want the guys on your team to not be hurt, obviously. But for instance, the controversial play at the end of the Green Bay game last Thursday, where Mike's drawing dicks in his notebook. The controversial play where the ball was thrown back to Aaron Rodgers and then he was quote unquote face masked. You know, that flag gets thrown because of player safety, not because he actually got the face mask, you know, grabbed. His neck got jerked. The refs see it. They see that he's a quarterback, and they throw a flag.
Aaron Rodgers
twisted his own neck.
Is a smart man.
He twisted his own
neck.
He's
a veteran.
He saw the hand coming towards his face, and he twisted his own neck.
Yes.
But the refs see that, and as a safety precaution, they have to throw that flag.
Okay, but you know what? If that was Matthew Stafford, would that flag have been thrown?
It might have been.
No.
Maybe.
It wouldn't have.
Anyway.
Fucking politics.
All I'm trying to say is, Not only is this proposal, I think, bad for the NFL, and maybe it's their fault for not, you know, getting this information out when they already knew it and trying to, you know, make it safer earlier, but it's the movie itself and this column are going to be terrible for the NFL. You're going to see a decline in kids actually playing football, which is going to lead to the talent dropping.
No, right? If anything, I see an increase in kids playing football because parents won't be afraid and they won't stop their children from playing football. There was a bunch of kids on Johnny's team this year that didn't play flag football last year because they were nervous about their kids' safety. But they're playing now this year, you know, because they need something to do in between baseball and, you know, baseball season, basketball. You know? So they said, all right, we'll throw him out there and see how he likes it.
Listen, we want to know your guys' opinion. So if you want to chime in, you can find us on Facebook at On The Clock Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at You're On The Clock. And you can always email us. We haven't gotten any emails. So send us an email with your opinion on, you know, this specific thing and put concussion in the header. And we'll read some of these on the next podcast, and the email address is ontheclockpodcast@gmail.com.
Let's say the NFL knew about this when Jim McMahon played football. Okay? That was before I was born, almost 30 years ago. They potentially knew about this stuff. Do you think that they would do something to stop it? No, they're not going to do anything to stop it because the only thing that matters is money.
Listen, I don't agree or disagree. You know, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business, but, you know.
Like you said, the turnaround for this, if it were to happen where kids can't play tackle football until they get to college or once they're 18, whatever the case may be, the turnaround on it wouldn't be for another 10 years. So if it were to be for the better, we wouldn't be seeing a better product on the field until then, 10 years from now, because this season sucks.
I agree that this season sucks. Real quick, we're gonna do an ad read, and when we come back, we're gonna go through our week 13 picks and our fantasy golden garbage.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, if you're big fans of the On The Clock podcast, Audible is going to offer you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You have a ton of titles to choose from. It's 180,000 different books for the iPhone, Android, or Kindle. Any MP3 player, you want it, you got it. They have books like Divergent by Veronica Roth, which is about a girl named Beatrice Pryor who lives in a world where society is divided into factions based on, you know, things like honesty, selflessness, bravery, peacefulness, and intelligence. Every 16-year-old must select their own faction, and Beatrice's decision comes between staying with her family and being who she really is. It seems like a very interesting book. I think I might go pick it up with my free trial. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock. And you will get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/ontheclock. And while you're on the internet, make sure you go to amazon.com. We have our own banner on the podcast website, ontheclockpodcast.com. Is that the website? ontheclockpodcast.com, yes. If you go to ontheclockpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner, you're helping us. It puts some money in our pocket. It doesn't cost you anything, but it helps us pay our bills, and it allows us to give you guys the same content you're getting every week. I know you love listening to me and Mike talk about football, so go to ontheclockpodcast.com and click the Amazon banner. The holiday season is here, and Christmas is only, what, 2 weeks away?
Yes, I'm actually shopping on Amazon.com right now.
Yeah.
Through the On the Clock podcast
banner. He is. He's got some G.I. Joes looked up. He's trying to get some toys for the kids. So, listen.
It's all about the kids.
I used it the other day to buy a luchador mask. Why do you ask? Because I have a wrestling podcast. Anyway, what the fuck am I talking about, man? OntheClockPodcast.com, click the Amazon banner. It gives us a little bit of money on the back end to help keep the podcast maintained and ran to a professional manner.
I needed a 25-foot cable wire today because I was moving my TV onto the other side of the room. And Best Buy is right across the street from me. And I decided to go to Amazon.com instead of walking across the street to Best Buy.
And he used his Prime account, so he's going to get it tomorrow. All right? Do it. OntheClockPodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner. Thanks, guys. Also, make sure you go to Lineup Media Group's website, where they have a ton of podcasts just like this one that are really fucking awesome. Okay? They have the NHL podcast, Chasing Pucks with Panger. It is... total NHL podcast. You can find that at NHLpodcast.com or go to Lineup Media Group and you can search all the cool podcasts that they have there. They have the Let's Get It On podcast with Big John McCarthy. Bunch of cool stuff. Once again, Lineup Media Group, thank you for giving us the opportunity and make sure you guys go out and show them some support.
Yes, do that because I like talking about football.
Agreed.
Whether people listen or not.
All right. So, now that we're done paying the bills, we're going to jump right into our Week 13 picks.
Week 14 picks.
How do I never get that right?
No idea.
I suck.
Yes, you do. Thursday night football. Quick recap from last week. Matt went 9-7. I went 8-8. Thursday night football. Minnesota Vikings at the Arizona Cardinals. This one's pretty much one-sided, especially if Barr and Harrison Smith don't play, correct?
Agreed, and considering the way they played against Seattle this past week, I think if Smith and Barr don't play, it's going to be a runaway victory for Arizona. And I think that Arizona has a pretty good run defense, so you're going to see similar numbers to what Adrian Peterson did against Seattle, which is virtually nothing.
Yep, don't care either because I'm on a bye. 1 o'clock games, Buffalo at Philadelphia.
Buffalo and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride the hot hand here. Well, they're both the hot hand. Philly's coming off of an impressive win over a less than stellar New England team. But
I'm going to say it again like I did last week 50 times. Any given Sunday, man.
I agree.
Any given Sunday.
I like Philly at home. Even though, listen... Watkins has been huge for Buffalo lately. Tyrod Taylor is back to the form he was in the beginning of the year, but I just think that Philly's going to be too much for them. Missing Kyle Williams is going to be big for Buffalo at one point, and I think it starts this week.
I don't. I'm going to take Buffalo. Next game on the slate is the Seattle Seahawks at the Baltimore Ravens. I think Seattle just keeps it rolling here.
I agree.
Watch out.
I agree. Buck Allen had a huge game last week. That's not going to happen against the Seattle D.
Tell you what, teams that linger around for the first half of the season and then get it rolling are the most dangerous teams going into the postseason. Teams like the Seahawks, teams like the Bills, teams like Kansas City, teams like Pittsburgh, whose defense is good now. When they were
I've been hyping up Pittsburgh's defense all year.
You have been, but they were awful in the beginning of the year.
I agree.
Now they're looking good.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Who do you got on that game? Seattle and Baltimore.
Seattle.
All right, next up is the San Francisco 49ers at the Cleveland Browns.
Can we just throw this in the garbage and set it on fire right now?
Yeah. No.
Find a game worse than this.
Okay, where are the Rams?
Playing Detroit.
Yeah, that's a worse game than this one.
They're both 4-8.
Listen, Blaine Gabbert put on a show last week, man. What was that, a 40-yard touchdown
it was like
run?
50.
That was a good run there,
I will take he walked into the end zone, too.
Right after I said, all right, listen, this game is over.
Interesting fact about this game. San Fran is 1-5 in away games, and Cleveland is 1-5 in home games. So something's going to give on either side. I think Money Manziel makes it happen. I'm going to take Cleveland.
I don't. I'm going to take San Fran.
Listen, if Manziel's not going to be in Cleveland next year, then he's playing for a roster spot on another team. So I think this is an important game for him to show not only that Cleveland has been misusing him and mistreating him, but that he does belong in the NFL. I'm not saying that he does, but this could be the reason why he makes the team somewhere else.
I just don't think that Cleveland has the personnel to accommodate Johnny Manziel's football style.
I agree. And
I don't think we see anything out of him.
Travis Benjamin had a shoulder injury last week, but he's expected to play. I think he needs all the weapons he can get, and I think they're going to try to get a little bit of a run game going, which is something they haven't had all year. But I think Cleveland can pull this one out.
Next up, Detroit Lions at the St. Louis Rams.
The line's even in this game. I don't know why. Janoris Jenkins might not play. If that's the case, I think Calvin has 300 yards instead of 150 and 4 touchdowns instead of 2. I'm going to take Detroit.
I'm going to take St. Louis.
Why?
Just to try and catch up.
Did you not hear me 40 minutes ago?
I don't care.
All right, we got to fly through these.
All right, Tennessee Titans at the New York Jets. I'm going to take the Jets, and Matt also wants me to make a bet, a wager, for the amount of infinity with his brother.
I want Iron Mike, who is a Jets fan, to bet my little brother. We'll call him Party with Mark G. I want the wager to be infinity dollars, meaning anytime Mark G gets any currency put in his hands, it immediately goes to Iron Mike. I'm going to take the Jets here, too.
Yeah, I don't know what that kid sees in the Titans, but they're not really good. I mean, Jacksonville is
good.
I think
the kid down the street liked the Titans when we were growing up, yeah, so he liked the Titans.
Probably.
He's a dick rider.
Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a tough one, man.
I know. This is the one that I'm going to take Cincy just because they're still the hot. They're actually the number 2 seed in the playoffs right now in the AFC.
Number 1.
They're the number 1?
I'm pretty sure they're the number 1 seed. And Denver's number
yes,
2.
Yes, yes. New England slid from 1 to 3.
Yeah. Because of
Cincinnati
tiebreaker.
Jumped up to 1, yep. And Denver jumped up to 2. Yep. Cincinnati's 5-1 at home. I think they continue to play well at home. I think their offense is the perfect balance that will exploit Pittsburgh's defense a little bit more than we are used to seeing in more recent games. And Pittsburgh hasn't really seen offenses any good in the last few weeks. They played the Colts, the Seahawks, the Browns, and the Raiders in their last few games. So I think Pittsburgh might get a little overwhelmed with Cincinnati, and I'm going to take Cincinnati.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins this one 41-35.
You know, the last game they played like 5 weeks ago, the score was 16-10.
Yep. That's fine.
Well, all right.
All right. Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Give me Jacksonville.
Matt's going to take Jacksonville. I'm going to take Indy. I'm going to look to really catch up this week.
Or bury yourself.
Yeah, but at this point in the season, even if I do bury myself, there's still a little bit of time left to make a comeback.
I had the unfortunate wrongdoing to myself of benching,
which you should never do,
Allen Robinson this week in favor of Eric Decker, which cost me a 3-point loss and a place in the playoffs. You're welcome, George, for the win, and you're welcome,
Joey and Brian
for the playoff berth on my dumbass.
They backed into the playoffs. Next up, San Diego at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs are riding it.
Chiefs are. And you know what?
The Chiefs are 11.5 favorites.
Are they? I think I said this last week or the week before. Andy Reid's a good coach, and once his teams get rolling, they stay that way, man.
It took them a little bit longer than he would have wanted them to grasp the offense, but now that they have it where they're firing on all cylinders, the perfect example of how well their offense is working is they lose Jamal Charles, and they don't miss a beat in the running game. Kendrick West gets hurt, and Spencer Ware comes in and rushes for fucking 150 yards.
What do they say in this industry? They eat crow, right? I'm eating crow with the Kansas City Chiefs right now because for weeks and weeks and weeks up until that London game, I said that they were a horrible team. And
you thought they were going to fire fucking Andy Reid.
No, I didn't think they were going to fire Andy Reid, but I thought they were a horrible team and nothing good was coming out of them. And now they won, what, 5 games in a row?
Yep.
Good for them. Washington Redskins at the Chicago Bears.
I don't think that Washington has the personnel to beat Chicago. I think Chicago can overpower them on offense. Washington's coming off of a devastating loss on Monday Night Football where DeSean Jackson loses a fumble on a punt return that ends up costing them the game. Where play just plays before that, he caught a bomb. So I think they still get stuck in the emotions of this week's game, and they end up taking another loss. I'll take Chicago.
I'm going to take Washington, but for the opposite reason of taking the Colts before. Fuck Jay Cutler. He cost me the number 2 seed in one of my leagues. He's a dick. Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers.
They're going to stay undefeated.
Yeah.
I'm saying it.
Yeah. I won't
I won't say the whole 16 weeks yet. They did play a close game against New Orleans this week, but
I almost snuck one out.
They also played without Charles Tillman. And I think they needed one of those games where
a wake-up call.
They squeaked by and a wake-up call. Yes. And I think they really turned it around and put some pressure on the Falcons offense,
which has been awful recently. I'm going to take Carolina as well. Next up, another NFC South game is the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Bucks. What do you like?
Where's that game?
Right here.
Oh, I have it all the way at the top. Never mind. Jeez. This is another tough one.
No, not really.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay. The Saints are terrible away. They have the worst defense in the league. Winston's looked very good, so.
Winston has looked
good. It's surprising to me that this is one game that we actually agree on.
Did you see that 20-yard run he had?
Who?
Winston?
No.
He was running for first down, ended up running into a bunch of piled-up players. It looked like he was going to go down, and then he caught his footing and just kind of did a Madden, like, you know, turn
off the pile.
Yeah, spin off the pile and ran for the first down. It was an interesting play. You should watch it. Next up is the Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos.
One 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, one of the fucking 2 4 o'clock games. Oh, great games this weekend at 4 o'clock.
The Denver Broncos keep it rolling.
I'm glad. I'm not going to miss anything during my 4 o'clock nap this week. I'm going to take Oakland just because. Fuck the Broncos. Dallas Cowboys at the Green Bay Packers. Matthew, who do you like?
You got to like Green Bay.
It's probably the first time I've ever called you Matthew.
Probably. You got to like Green Bay. They're playing at home, which is usually good for them. They're 4-2 at home this year. And Dallas does not look good. They squeaked out a win this past week against the Redskins. I don't think you do that against a team like Green Bay, especially in Lambeau. So I'm going to take Green Bay.
Yeah, but Green Bay hasn't been Green Bay this year. Like, you know, Snickers commercials?
You're not you when you're hungry.
You're not you when you're hungry. Like, they're hungry. They need a Snickers.
Discount double checks all day. You're taking Green Bay too, so why are we even arguing about
because
it?
Because I was gonna take Dallas, but all right, fuck,
we're running
them
long.
Too.
So
Sunday Night Football, New England Patriots at the Houston Texans.
There's no question. I'm gonna take the Patriots. I still think that the Texans' offense has
that
a decent game.
They're gonna
game,
go undefeated.
What?
Taking Houston.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're gross.
Home dogs, baby. Never go against the home dogs.
Well, we're not playing with points, so that's fucking useless.
Watch.
Go ahead.
Watch.
Go ahead, next game.
Monday Night Football, New York Giants at the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, boy. Give me the Giants. I think the Giants lost to the Jets, but I think the Jets are a better team than Miami, and I think the Giants are a better team than Miami.
Giants are a bad team right now.
I don't think they're as bad as people are making them out to be.
They're bad. Like, at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, they're a good team.
There's three teams
they're
that
bad.
Who's in the division lead right now? Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, and every other team is only a half a game back.
Whatever, but the Giants are a bad team right now, and it does not look
like you picked
them.
The Giants to go to the Super Bowl.
No, I picked them to go to the NFC Championship.
Okay, well, they're still in the race.
They still might make it, but they're bad.
All right, that's going to do it for our Week 13 picks. Real quick, we're going to jump into our Fantasy Golden Garbage. Let's recap last week real quick. This is not real quick.
I'm trying to make minimal noise here. You always yell at me for making noise.
All right, so just to recap our gold, Mike had Aaron Rodgers. He had 32 points. Jarvis Landry finished with a whopping 3. Matt Forte had 23 points, and Kyle Rudolph had 4. So not a terrible day for Mike.
No, that's bad.
I had Derek Carr, who finished with 20, Brandon Marshall, who finished with 31, David Johnson, who finished with 20, and Travis Kelce finished with 6. So not a bad one on my side either. As far as garbage goes, Mike threw up another stinker. Stafford with 23, Evans with 17, DeMarco Murray with 2, and Antonio Gates with 11. On my side, I had Phillip Rivers for garbage with 6. Dez finished with 9. Mark Ingram finished with 18. And Jordan Reed finished with 6. So that brings us to this week. I'll start off by saying my fantasy gold quarterback is Jameis Winston. I like the matchup. He's going against the worst defense in the league. Look for Winston to have a big game.
Statistically over the season, but I think they're turning it around, man. My quarterback pick for the week is Ryan Tannehill. The New York Giants are a bad football team right now.
My fantasy gold receiver is Jeremy Maclin. I think he keeps it running. He's had 2 good games back-to-back, and they are playing the Chargers, who have a less-than-stellar defense. He'll probably get a decent chunk of Marcus Peters, but they like to run Maclin all over the field, so he's not going to get in the whole game. Or not Marcus Peters, I'm sorry. Jason Verrett.
Jason Verrett.
Go ahead, Mike.
My wide receiver pick this week is going to be Dontrell Inman, somebody we were talking about with Joe earlier.
Yeah,
in the
a couple weeks ago.
I just think that Phillip Rivers isn't a guy that just lays down. You know what I'm saying? He's still got some fight left in him this year. All
right, my gold running back is going to be Jonathan Stewart. He had a decent game, not anything crazy last week. But he's facing the Falcons. The Falcons haven't been good against the run all year. So I think the combination of him in the running game as well as the passing game will give him a couple more points and put him, I think, somewhere between like the 18 to 25 mark.
Frank Gore played pretty well against Jacksonville's first game against them.
Okay. He cost me a fucking playoff spot this week, so he could blow me.
You cost yourself a playoff spot.
Either way, I needed some help and I didn't get it. My fantasy gold tight end is Charles Clay. The Dolphins are playing the Giants. The Giants are one of the worst teams against the tight end. There's nothing else you can really say about that.
ASJ, baby. For those of you who don't know,
Austin Seferian Jenkins. It's about time we brought his name back up because we haven't done so in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Because he hasn't played in like three
exactly.
or 4 weeks.
All right, let's turn to garbage. My garbage starts quarterback, Matt Ryan. I just think that Carolina's D will be too much for him. My running back garbage, Adrian Peterson against the Cardinals. He didn't have a good game this past week against the Seahawks, and I could see him having a similar type of game against the Cardinals. My garbage at wide receiver, I'm going out on a limb here and saying that Julio is going to have a subpar game. I don't want to say it's going to be terrible, but I don't think it's going to be what you're used to getting from Julio. He's going up against Josh Norman, and my garbage start at tight end is Martellus Bennett, who is playing the Redskins, and the Redskins have been pretty good against tight ends.
Real quick, Brian Hoyer, Chris Ivory, Kamari Aiken, Jordan Reed. Garbage.
Real quick, I just want to pull up the DraftKings contest from this week because we had some winners.
This is something that we always forget to pull up before we start the show. We apologize.
Give him a little song and dance, Mike.
Mostly because my laptop broke a couple weeks ago, so I'm relying on Matt for this stuff.
Yeah, and now I have to go to my phone to do it.
And Matt's really not reliable with this kind of stuff.
Oh, no, I'm terrible. Yeah. Mike had to make the lobby for us. Let's see.
Man.
Recent. Here we go.
You're bad at this.
So I finished in 10th place. Finishing above me in 8th place.
Santa, please bring me a laptop.
In 8th place, Iron Mike. Let's see.
Oh, yeah? That high?
Yep.
Wow.
4th place, B-Will, one of our good friends. Shout out to B-Will. Coming in first, another cash for Ryan Flagg, friend of the family. Congratulations, Ryan. Took home $31.50 this week. Probably bringing his total to around $70 in wins. So, congrats. We keep saying we're going to get you a shirt. We're really going to get you a shirt. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook at On The Clock Podcast, on Twitter at You're On The Clock. You can find me on Twitter at @_Matt_Geiger. You can find Iron Mike on Twitter at @Iron_Mike_NJ. Make sure you check out the website, ontheclockpodcast.com. Check us out. We will have another DraftKings tournament going live this week. And thanks for listening. Tune in next week when me and Mike will do the Oklahoma drill to see who has a concussion first.
You're On The Clock with Matt Geiger. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man Behind the 8 Ball, and more.